For Pete and for Dave, I just want to say I want to commend them. I know some people have sent some emails, Janet and Howard, I know you have. Just to say thank you for just their dedication and their commitment to truthfully bring revelations to us. And I think in some places it was quite difficult to do. I always like the beginning and I love the end. The middle bit I find a bit, whoa, like that, but they just did a great job. And today what I'm going to speak about is about really a letter that Jules Gray, so Jules and Pete are at home, and Pete goes in tomorrow for his operation, so please remember to pray. And Jules sent me this letter, and in this letter for my birthday, she put this thing to me, which was so very profound because God had already been speaking to me about it. And he was saying, she felt God was saying to me, the greatest lovers make the greatest warriors. So if you're going to write that down, write it down. The greatest lovers make the greatest warriors. And I want to speak about that to you today because there's a saying either you're a lover or a fighter, but I want to say you can be both. You can be, well, you have to be both. You need to be a lover first to be able to be a fighter. And you can't be a fighter unless you're a lover. So that's what I'm going to speak about. And I'm just want to speak about the gospel. So it was so wonderful this morning for Teresa to be singing this, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, because it's all about the cross. And usually I'll kind of like pick a person out if I'm talking about intimacy or being lovers. And but I want to pick out about the gospel. And Dave said a very profound thing, really profound, and it has stayed with me. And so he gave the two keys to be lovers and fighters. So Dave gave the keys in Revelation. And the first one to be a lover, he said, was to be thirsty. He didn't say lovers, but I'm telling you, that's what it is, to be thirsty. And he said this question to us. He said, the question isn't this, whether my name is written in the book of life, or really, are we saved? The question is to us that it repeatedly says in Revelations, are you thirsty? And you will know that if you're a thirsty person, even coming here today, there must have been a thirst about you to be in the presence of God. There must be a thirst about you to come. I think of Laura and Russell coming all the way from Leeds. There must have been a thirst to be with God's people and to be in God's presence, to come all the way from Leeds to Selby today. And so you just have to ask the question, are you thirsty? Because the world wants us to be thirsty about the wrong things. And we don't want to get off course as a church today. We want to be thirsty about the right things. And the next one for fighters, I felt that he gave the key when he ended his talk last week, and he was absolutely, I have to say, he was rocking. I said in the week to him, how am I going to follow that, Dave? I felt so inadequate. And he said this thing about being soaked in God's word. And if you haven't heard it, you need to listen to the talk last week because it was absolutely brilliant. But at the end, he speaks about being soaked in God's word, and that is how you are a fighter. So I'm going to cover the both today. So for me personally, I can only speak from experience. The way that I feel that I connect with God and really fix my attention and my gaze on the beautiful one, on the glorious one, on the one who is worthy of all my praise, is to come back to the gospel and keep applying the gospel of good news over my life. And when, even this week, I was reading this scripture where it says that I've just read, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us That's all of us here that bought us peace. And with his stripes, that was with the wounding of Christ's body, are we healed. And if you ever go to just contemplate the enormity of the brutality of the cross, because I actually dare you to go there, just to look it up, just to see even what this word means to be scourged, and how, and how horrendous it was that his skin was like hanging out, his flesh was all open. And if you think about that, the stripes on Jesus's body was for our healing. And if that doesn't compel you to be a lover, to come and spend time with Jesus, to come and worship him, and to come and read his word, to come and give him praise every day, I want to tell you, nothing will. Because if the cross and the resurrection hasn't unraveled you and hasn't connected you and hasn't made you thirsty, I have to say, I don't think there would be anything that would. Because the enormity of that love that comes from heaven, and that this love values us. And I do believe in life that so many people don't have a sense of being valued. But when you think of this love, because we just say the love of Christ or the love of Jesus, and we say it like it kind of flows off our tongue. And today, even when I was praying, I knew that I was caught somewhere in the emotion of this sacrificial love of Jesus that gave everything for us, this love of the Father that actually gave us Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit that comes and reveals the cross to us. It's enormous, guys. I want to tell you, we have got some very, very good news to tell people. We haven't only been rescued from hell, which we have, but we have been brought into freedom, and we've been brought into a newness of life. And we have been brought into this promise of just being with Christ forever. And that means every day of your life, you're with Jesus. And I want to ask you some questions. Are you living like that? Are you living in all the fullness? Are you living in all the fullness of just having your gaze upon him? Because the world is trying to get your attention and to pull you away from him. And we don't want to be there, guys. That's not where we want to be. So we want our full gaze to be on Jesus on the cross, because it will radically change you. And this is what it causes you. So I'm just going to read you this Psalm 103. And it is the most glorious, one of the most glorious Psalms. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget." So it tells you not to forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then in verse 11, so it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." What grace. What grace that Jesus would have gone to the cross for us, that he endured all the suffering for us, that he took all the wrath of the Father for us, that he would set us free and he would say, "Your sins are remembered no more." He has cast them from the east is to the west. He never brings them back to memory. Now, I want to say something important to you. Jesus didn't say that about us. He didn't say, "You have forgotten your sins and you won't remember them anymore." We remember the things that we've done wrong, because we come in humble praise to our God. We remember them for a reason, that Jesus has forgiven our sins. We can remember the sins that we've done. We recall them. We can recall them. But they're not meant to condemn us. They're meant to bring us to a point of praise and adoration. That's what they're meant to do. Because our God has forgiven them and cast them from the east is the west. So there's nothing that you have said sorry for that God would ever bring to memory to you. Never. Because he loves you so much, and that is the grace of God. It is absolutely beautiful. And it says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He just brings strength to us, and he just equips us like never before. And so I want to I'll just read you this wonderful scripture as well in Galatians. And this is where he brings us. He brings us near. This is what the God of heaven, he always does. He brings us nearer and nearer to himself. So it's Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. How incredible is that? Crying, Abba, Father, so that we know who our daddy is. So you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. How wonderful is that, that we have got a father, we've got papa, we've got a God of heaven. We've been brought near because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you that if you concentrate and fix your attention, because that is where your attention needs to be, you will be a good lover. I think of like Jordan and Heather getting married, and just where they are, because obviously they're in their honeymoon phase, and their attention and their gaze is fully on one another all the time. And that's what Jesus wants us to be like with him. He wants our gaze to be on him all the time. Keep it on him, otherwise you'll get taken out. And so the next thing that I want to talk about is fighters. So I want you to turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians 6, if you've got your Bibles. Because for me, this scripture is like, it's like the lion's roar. I always think, I know there's times that we need a bit of comfort and we need God's healing over our life. I don't want to diminish today or you to misinterpret what I'm saying, because there's been times in my life that I've needed to go have some prayer about something. But I know God quickly comes. But for me, in my walk with God, I absolutely know that this scripture always brings me back to this place that I love. It brings me to the army barracks. And God would bring us there today. Because in this scripture, it says the days are evil. And I want to help you how to live in the evil day. So you need to be the lover on one hand, but you need to be the fighter on the other if you're going to survive in this evil world. And because the devil, as we connect with God, the devil's job, he's got some schemes that he has. He wants to do everything in his power to disconnect you from God's presence, from the word of God, from worship him, from coming to church. And I really mean that. So people who are listening to this, who are sat at home, if it is just for fear that you are not coming to church, then you need to get soaked in the word of God. Because when you get soaked in the word of God and you know the word of God, the word of God says, be anxious for nothing. And it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if it's for any reason that other than that you're not coming, that's okay. But if it's out of fear that you are not coming to church, you need to get yourself back. Because it's not the way for you. We're not meant to be living in fear. And it was very strange. I met with somebody just for a drink this week, and she's not a Christian. And she just asked me about somebody from church, and I just said to her, and she asked me if I'd seen them and were they back at church, and I said no. And she said, well, I thought they trusted in God. And she wasn't a Christian. So it's not a good witness. Because God has called us back in with his people. We need to get back in. And there's another voice, and it's the enemy. It's telling us to be fearful, and we're not to listen to that voice. And I'm going to explain that as I read this scripture. So the enemy's job is to disconnect. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So this word is telling us that the days are evil, just like Dave and Pete has been explaining to us about Revelation. The days are evil. The enemy is roaring round. If you don't understand you have an enemy, you are going to get taken out. And for all of us, some days, and you will know this, you get up on a morning and you can feel, even if you've, I know it for myself, I had one day this week, I got up, I read my Bible, I'd got some worship on, and I could feel the absolutely fiery darts of the evil one trying to get into my head, trying to distort my mind, trying to make me think negative things about myself. And you know those days when you just get up, when the enemy's pressing in, you don't feel worth something, you don't feel enough, you feel vulnerable. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have queer dreams and then I wake up and I'm all disorientated with a dream. And the enemy can use anything. He uses circumstances, he uses fears, anxieties. He will use anything to try to distract you from who God is, to try to distract you from getting close to God, from trying to distract you from concentrating on the one we're meant to be concentrating on, Jesus Christ. He will do everything in his power to do that. And where it says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, it doesn't mean we just sit back and let God do everything, but we've got to know the one who is all powerful, the one who is almighty. And Dave has explained it is not this tug of war between the devil and God. God wins all the time. And the enemy knows that his day is coming. So he's going to do as much collateral damage as he can in the process. And you've got to cop onto that. You've got to understand that he's at work. And I don't want to frighten you or get you all crazy and so you're all thinking about the devil all the time. But you must understand that. You must understand where these things come from. And if you've got frustrations, the big thing that he does is try to put doubt. He tries to make you feel doubtful of who you are. Tries to make you feel doubtful of your worth. Tries to make you doubtful of who God is and God's word. And so when we read God's word, we'll just think to you, sometimes you think to yourself, well, really, is my circumstance, is my situation like that? Is God coming for me? But yes, he is. I was thinking about this beginning, just some people in the Old Testament. I was thinking about Moses when he was stood at the Red Sea and he could hear probably the noise of the chariots coming, of Pharaoh's armies coming, and he got the people moaning and groaning. They were saying all sorts, why have you brought us out of Egypt? We could have been back home doing what we were doing, getting flogged and beaten. I don't know why they were moaning so much, but they were. And then God just says to him, stand firm. You need to stand firm. And he tells him that he's coming to battle for him in Exodus 14. But he doesn't say that he's going to do it all. He tells Moses, tell the people to go forward and lift up your staff. So there's always something that God tells us to do while he's battling for us. So it isn't just that we let go, oh, I'll just pray and God will do it all for me. There's something God does and there's something we do. So we have to stand firm and we have to go forward. I don't know what your life, but the enemy tries to kind of get your feet stuck somewhere. And if you're not moving forward and if you're not growing spiritually, it's because you've listened to the lies of the enemy too much. He's got in your head far too much, because God is always telling us, go forward, move into all the promises, move into God's direction, move in this word. It's very, very, very important that we do. And this is where everything comes from. So it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I believe that this is the gospel armor. So if you can understand that when you're a lover and you've got caught up in the gospel, that's how you stay a lover, is being caught up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how you continue to stand firm is by putting on this gospel armor. Well, I would say pray it on every day. Now, there's been some very crazy things along the line, and I've heard some crazy things and done some crazy things. So I believe when you're saved, this armor is placed on you. You've got this armor. So you don't take off the helmet of salvation. Oh, I'm off to bed now. Just whip it off. It's back on in the morning. Oh, if I remember to put it back on. And then if I don't remember to put it back on, oh no, something bad's going to happen to me. Now I can remember. You had to put it on religiously every day, because if you didn't have it on, the devil was going to get you and you was going to be well and truly taken out. It isn't like that. It's on you. You've just got to pray it on, to put it on in your mind. That's what you've got to do every day. So when it tells you to put these things on, put them on in prayer. And so, like I say, when me and Dave go praying, we put these on every time we pray in one way or another. And every time I pray, I put them on. So it's stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So get this truth. Obviously, you'll have heard talk after talk, so I don't have to keep going on about all this thing, but when the soldiers put the belt on, it was the thing that held everything together. But God is truth. That is his nature. That is who he is. He's not false. He doesn't lie. Nothing it says in this word is contrary to who he is. He is the God of truth. And so when it tells you to put the belt of truth in, it's saying stand in the truth, but it's also a bit saying be people of truth. Be people that are genuine. Be people of integrity. Be people that are wrapped up in God. You've got the belt on firm round your waist. So get it on. And it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so when the enemy comes to tell you that you're not worth anything, you can put this breastplate of righteousness on. You have been made right with the Father because of all that Jesus Christ has done for you. So he has made you right. So when you came in repentance and faith, you were totally right. You are totally secure now with the Father. There's not wrath coming down on you. There's grace coming down on you. And so we are compelled to be trained in righteousness. That's in godly living. So not only are we right before the Father, but we want to walk in that rightness. We want to walk in the ways of what the Bible says and the Word of God says. We want to do that because we're compelled to do it. And then it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. If you just think about this, the shoes of peace. In the midst of everybody's massive turmoil of life, because everybody has them, whether you're coping with an illness, whether you're coping with financial problems, whether you're coping with relational problems, whether you're coping with your own insecurities, let me tell you, when you come to God, he is the God of peace. And he will exchange your turmoil, because that's what he does. He will exchange your turmoil for peace. And it's a promise that God always brings us peace. So you can understand how you need to put these shoes of peace on and ask God, bring me peace today in the mess of life. Bring peace to me. And it says, in all circumstances, taking the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. When you get hold of the word of God and understand who God is and believe in faith of all the promises that he can do, you will extinguish all those lies that the enemy's trying to take you out with. And you can extinguish them with the faith and understanding of who God is. I know even this week I spoke to Sonia, just trying to get businesses up and running in this pandemic, and just being able to trust God, and Teresa and Kyle the same, just being able to trust God and understand that God is coming to fight for them. So all we have to do is stand firm, all we have to do is pray, and all we have to do is trust. We don't actually have to do anything else. We just have to stand in faith to believe who our God is, and our God will come. And so when the enemy's saying he won't come, let me tell you, he absolutely will, because he's roaring for us. And it says this, and take up the helmet of salvation. Oh, how glorious is. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. But this helmet of salvation that tells us, if you think that when somebody put a helmet on when they were going to battle, it was to keep them safe. Your mind is where you will get all the bombardment. So it's like where depression comes. It's where anxiety comes. It's where fears comes. It's where your doubts comes. It's all those things that kind of try to get in your head. You just have to go to the Word of God. You only have to go soak in it, like what Dave said. You only have to be obedient to what the Word of God says. And let me tell you, your head will be lifted up. You will feel a totally different person. Depression will go for you when you get more of this into your hearts and lives. Because I know that, because I've been there myself. I know those low moments that the enemy's made me feel. I'm going to have to stop there because we're running out of time. So what I'm going to do now is, if anything I've said this morning has kind of really touched a chord with you, or you're just saying, Lord, I want to be that lover, and Holy Spirit, I want you to come and help me to be that lover, to keep my gaze and my attention fixed on you, I want you to stand up. And also, if you know that you've had a sense of the enemy's fiery darts coming at you, and you've been kind of getting taken out somewhere, and you just need God's strength today, I just want to say to you, stand to your feet today, and I just want to pray over you today, just God's power and blessing over you as a people. So if you really feel that, just maybe in a prayerful moment, I've just got Sonia just to have some worship on, just as we pray. Yeah, I just want to pray for everybody that stood. And I say, I want to pray from God because they stood, because they're thirsty. And that's why they're here today, because they're thirsty people. And I pray the God of heaven, who quenches our thirst, who satisfies everything to us when we're hungry, who gives us everything that we need, you are our all-sufficient one. And I just pray today that you would come, Holy Spirit. I pray that people's attention and people's gaze wouldn't be on other things of the world or other fears or other doubts, Lord, that their attention would be on you. And I just pray, God, make lovers. Make lovers of your people. And I just pray, Lord, for everybody that they would know that how precious the Word of God is. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, as people just hold their hands out now, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would fall afresh on people again, fall afresh on me, fall afresh on these people in this church, that you would help them to know how important your Word is, that your Word radically changes everything of our hearts and our life. And we say everything in us, God, we want to connect with you. And so when the enemy tries to make us disconnect, we're going to come back to the Word of truth, and we're going to speak the Word of truth over our hearts and our lives. And we're going to apply the Word of God to everything that we do, Lord. And we just say, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would enable us to be able to do that. The truth revealer, come and reveal more of your truth to us as a people today, we pray. In your glorious, glorious name, Lord, we ask this. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry.